everyone. Welcome to Music A to Z. Thank you for joining us for our new episode. I'm Steve Ferguson.
I'm Doug Ferguson, and you are listening to the podcast where we talk about music.
We're going through alphabetical order, talking about bands that we're exposed to and hoping to expose you to. Maybe, maybe not.
Or maybe it's just a friendly reminder of that band that once was.
Once was. Yeah. You know, I have a feeling that the last couple episodes that there are some people out there, there's a demographic, probably 16 years old, and they're like, I have never heard of Depp. Who's Charlie Kay, and why are you putting down Glee, and all that stuff?
Well, the reason we're putting down Glee. Let's not get on this. We need to stay focused here.
Yeah. We were sitting down, Doug and I were sitting down, thinking about what on earth to do for E, because, you know, there's
we had a few different ideas, but yeah. We decided to side with a band that is very near to our hearts. At least in my 1999 self, when I was 12, 13.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, very close to that heart.
It's even if you are 10 years old, you have been exposed to their mega hit, undoubtedly by this point, because it's entered the pop culture awareness. We are, of course, talking about Eiffel 65.
Okay, let's call that a day.
So let me start with a bit of their bio. So Eiffel 65.
They're from Italy.
They are Italian.
Yeah.
Jeffrey J. Maurizio. I was going to say Labia, but Maurizio Lubian. Lubia?
His name's definitely not Labia, though. Right?
Well, he's Italian, so he could be.
Could be. They do.
And Gabby Ponti. And those aren't actually even their real names.
Really?
Well, actually, I think Marianzo's or whatever's is, but Jeffrey J and stuff like that. No, that's not even his real name. It's like, you know, my name is really long and hard to pronounce, so I'm going to move on to a name that's... Actually, I think it's... I don't even know if it's pronounced Jeffrey J, because it's like the last name he gave is J-E-Y, so it could be G-G? I don't know.
Okay, anyways, if guys from Eiffel 65, if you're listening to this... We're sorry that we're butchering your names.
I am.
We don't know any Italian at all. We have a little bit of Italian blood in us, but we have no idea.
Yeah.
How to pronounce anything in Italian apart from arrivederci.
Now, this is kind of funny. I've been to their website, and I went to their website, and they're actually I'm going to say a couple of good-looking blokes in their middle age. Back then at the time, you know, when they put on the eyeliner and the silly haircuts and stuff, they were very, very Euro discotheque stuff, but these days they've got a nice look to them.
They've cleaned up.
Yeah, but okay. I'm just gonna start off the bat with a problem. If you have a page on your webpage promoting yourselves, if you have a page that's marked bio for biography, yeah, and you have people clipped there, don't give one paragraph and then say read more on Wikipedia. You are asking for trouble.
Yeah.
Because I went to Wikipedia first, and I was like, you know what? Okay, this has a lot of good information, but I cannot speak to the veracity of it. Eiffel 65 is easy to lampoon. So, you know, who knows? People might have gone in, edited stuff, and I missed the joke. But whatever. But if you, on your bio page, you say, I'll just read Wikipedia. Guys.
That's lazy.
It is lazy. Yeah, it's your bio.
I mean, unless you can, like, verify that you're the one who edited the Wikipedia page.
And that you're monitoring it all the time so no one changes it.
And just, like, you know what? Copy and paste what you wrote on Wikipedia, if that's the case. And if anything, that gives Wikipedia a reference to go to if somebody does wind up, like, vandalizing the page, because then all the information you need about yourself is on your page.
Yeah, it's...
Have control over it, guys.
Yeah, you gotta own it. And so I started off with Wikipedia, went to your guys', it's like I'm speaking directly to Eiffel 65. went to a... Yes, guys.
Let's address you.
It's dude. Because you're Googling yourselves. went then directly to their page for more reference, and there was some good information on there. But then you just sent me back to Wikipedia. All in all, I'm just going to go out right and say that is not a good practice. But you know what? That has nothing to do with the... That has very little to do with the music, we'll say.
Very little.
So, apparently, with Eiffel 65, they had no idea what to call themselves. They were all working for Bliss Corporation, which is their label, and apparently a pretty big one in Italy. Although, whenever I think of Bliss Corporation, now I think of Bliss by Muse, which is like the only song I liked off that one album, Origin of Symmetry.
I think you need to give more chance to Origin of Symmetry. I don't know. I actually kind of like that one. But we're not talking about Muse today. We're talking about...
It was so easy to get onto Muse. Anyway, so Bliss Corporation, these three guys are working for it. A DJ, a keyboardist, and the other guy. I don't even remember which one's which. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, the guy with the hat's the singer.
We'll get to the guy with the hat. Okay. So, yeah, they're working, and they say, we got to come up with a band name. So they put three names out there. I don't know what the other two were. One of them was Eiffel, and then a computer randomly selected one of the names and selected Eiffel. Although, okay, guys, in fairness.
Wait, a computer? So they didn't just, like, put them in a hat?
Yeah.
let's create this program.
And they mentioned this over and over. In fact, that was one of the things that they put on their bio page before linking to Wikipedia. Well, that it was computer selected based on three entries. So, I mean, your odds are one in three, guys.
I think
shouldn't be that surprised.
The hat would have been as good a good idea. The guy with the hat, you could have taken off your hat, put in the three names, pulled them out. So why 65, though?
65, I actually kind of like this. I think it's funny. 65 is because their manager was writing down a phone number on a piece of paper, and that piece of paper was on top of a submission form. They were submitting a demo to someone. They were submitting the demo to someone, and he had the paper that he was writing the phone number on top of, and the last two digits of the phone number got onto the submission paper, and the last two digits were 65.
That is kind of a fun idea.
I like that. I like that way more than the computer-selected Eiffel. I think that's kind of cool.
You know, and it's one of those sort of, like, very unique, genuine stories about, like, how a band gets their name, you know?
Yeah, you see, that's a random chance thing to me. Sticking three words into a computer and the computer, oh, the computer picked one! I mean, not so much, but yeah, I kind of dig that. I'm fine with that. The interesting thing is Bliss Corporation owns the name Eiffel 65. So the reason why you haven't seen any Eiffel 65 albums lately is because one of the guys left and the other two want to start a side project. Or want to keep going, I should say. And Bliss Corporation said, well, it has to be under a different name. And they said, okay. So they've actually been going as this band...
Bloom
06, yeah.
Bloom 06, yeah.
Which is apparently far more electronica-based from what I hear.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember trying to find some of their stuff, and it's actually kind of hard to find.
Yeah.
So, at least here in North America.
They're still really big in Italy. Their stuff really charted well in Italy. But, okay. I mean, let's go back a little bit to Europop.
Yes, right.
I love this. Their bio page, again, in that one paragraph before the Wikipedia link, claims that Europop... No, it didn't claim it in the bio page. It claimed that in the discography page. Claimed that Europop was one of the landmark albums of the 90s. Mm. I'm going to respectfully disagree.
Yeah, I think that... I would say... If I'm going to make a statement about Europop, what I would say is I make a statement about Blue, the single. Like, okay, everyone knows the Blue. Like, I would say that was one of the defining singles of 1999.
Mm-hmm. Of the year.
Mm-hmm. That's what I will say. That's what you get. And that's okay. And, you know, that's still...
It's more than what most bands get.
That is an achievement, but I would say that...
To say that it's a landmark album of the decade, I would throw OK Computer in there. I would throw Nirvana Nevermind in there.
I would throw in something by, like, Nine Inch Nails. Oh, that Soundgarden album that everybody loves that I can never remember what it's called. But, because I've never been a huge Soundgarden fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely know that it's iconic, and it's really worth, like, recognizing as a piece of the 90s music history. Yeah, apparently the first few Foo Fighters album is also another. Actually, you know what? Let's compare them against other electronic bands. Like, okay. what was an electronic band that was significant in the 90s, do you think?
When did Darude come out?
That was early 2000s.
So it was after. Daft Punk.
Homework.
Homework.
Defining album of the 90s.
Very much so, actually. Chemical Brothers?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Actually, in fact, 1999, the one, what's that one? The Let Forever Be's off of Surrender, I think?
Yeah, I think it's called
Surrender. Surrender is a terrific, terrific album.
Yeah. Those two alone, between Homework's not a phenomenal album, but they were putting it all out there. They were clearly...
It's almost a phenomenal. It's like if they just...
Tweaked it.
Edited it. Like, yeah. There's a couple songs I think they could lose.
Yeah, easily.
And then if they put in their B-side music instead of like one of the, like Rolling and Scratching or whatever.
Yeah,
I think it would be far.
Then it would be. Yeah, it actually would be really good. But even comparing it against those two,
Crystal Method.
Yeah, Crystal Method.
Yeah, Vegas was the album that was off of.
Yeah.
Which I like, but I don't think it's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know
if I'd call that one landmark, but that is certainly a '90s electronic release. Maybe Surrender. You could call landmark because, I mean, Chemical Brothers, I think, really entered public awareness at that point.
I think that they were... That was well into their run, I think. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I feel like I should be looking that up now. But, no, I guess we should probably stick with Eiffel 65.
Yeah.
We can go on tangents pretty easily.
I don't want Eiffel 65 or their Italian fans to feel like I'm being mean to them when I say I don't consider them a landmark album in the 90s. I think it takes a lot. Like, I'm not a big Nirvana fan, but I would be an idiot to say that Nevermind wasn't a landmark album. Yeah, and again, you know, Soundgarden as well is an excellent example. I mean, we may not brush up on Soundgarden, but it's such...
Yeah, I think that one of the things is that does it last the test of time?
Yeah.
Like, there's hit albums from the 90s that some people just don't remember. And definitely, like, Soundgarden, like, they still get radio play, and they still, people still remember them very fondly. And same with, like, Nine Inch Nails and stuff like that. People still, like, they still want more from these bands. Pearl Jam, apparently, was another, and there's another big 90s act that I haven't heard anything from in a while. I think Eddie Vedder did his own thing. And
taking a look at Europop, when Europop was released, I really dug the album at first. But even up to a year later, I pretty much stopped listening to it. Eiffel 65, they've got the cheesy synth hooks and the auto-tune voice,
which was, you know, to their credit, well, they did that way before it was really popular.
Yeah, I mean it was kind of their shtick, which is actually too bad because I think the dude has a good singing voice. If on the first album, if you look at Dubbin' Life and Your Clown. Actually, Your Clown is funny because his voice is so dramatic, it actually doesn't quite 100% mesh with the music. Like, I think if he had, like, a genuine orchestral or even acoustic guitar backing him, the song would have a lot more weight. So he's got a genuinely good singing voice, but, I mean, they liked their auto-tune.
There's some pretty good tracks on there, though. Like, I still have Europop on my iPod.
I do, too, yeah.
But I added out, I think, a couple songs, particularly that PlayStation song.
Okay, yes. We should talk about My Console.
My Console.
No. It is so obvious that they're, like, perhaps doing what a lot of other bands were doing. It's like, we need a song that an advertiser is going to love and pick up, and it's going to be on all the bloody commercials. Moby, a lot of his songs off Play were on so many commercials.
There's a landmark album of the 90s, Play, by Moby.
It's pretty late, though. That's 99, though, right?
Well, so was Europop.
That is an excellent point.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
There's an electronic album of the 90s right there, Play.
So, their thought process was, well, let's be really specific so that they know we're talking about them. So they released this song, My Console, which is about how much they love their PlayStation.
They just love their PlayStation.
We're not reading too much into this. This guy literally just talks about how much he loves PlayStation, and then he lists off a ton of the games.
PlayStation,
and then he lists off a ton of games.
And then there's a chorus where it goes, PlayStation. Like, wow.
Like, I get it, in that lots of dudes love their PlayStation, even to this day.
And I guess
it's
their demographic.
Yeah.
You know, like, kids are like, I really connect with this because I love my PlayStation.
But it's... It's so ludicrous. You cannot listen to this and say this is clearly a work of artistic merit. You can't. You can't say that. It's. I mean. Okay. Yeah. It's a fun and goofy song.
It's fanboy gushing. Really.
But
I mean, I think actually, I'm gonna do kind of wonder. Like, did PlayStation put them up to it, or were they just generally like, let's write this love letter?
Well, no one knew who they were before that album. If PlayStation approached them after Europop and they included it on the next album, then I would have an easier time believing it. But I mean,
yeah. I mean, I guess maybe. But I mean, I'm kind of
maybe
sad
it was a late addition to the album.
Sure.
Anyway, sorry guys.
But I find the song kind of unlistenable.
I don't find it unlistenable like Will.i.am unlistenable.
No.
So I just find it like I roll my eyes and I skip the track basically.
Yeah. So I just skip the track entirely by not having it on the iPod.
There you go.
Yeah. But as far as like songs I do like off of Europop, I have a weakness for Now Is Forever. It's kind of a charm. I think that they do sometimes have like an emotional core to their music that is kind of compelling. And I think Now Is Forever does kind of hit that stride. And The Edge, I'm a sucker for The Edge. I know you've never liked it.
I've never liked it.
But I do. I don't know. It's just. I mean, there's no lyrics really. I've been to The Edge. And God knows.
You can't even understand half the lyrics. There's two lines.
So, but as far as like, there's just this really cool electronic hook that I'm kind of sold by.
As time has gone on, I just have a hard time listening to the autotune. So Too Much of Heaven and Living in a Bubble. I appreciate what they're going for, but I just, especially Living in a Bubble where it starts off and blah, 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 blah. That to me is difficult to listen to.
You know what though? Living in a Bubble, I'll say this much. When I was a kid, I really liked that song. Like, I thought it was really cool. Like, that was my favorite off the album.
Oh, wow.
But not as much.
Yeah, I can still listen to Dub in Life. And
Europop, I actually kind of think it's kind of cool.
Strangely enough, I really like Silicon World. Silicon World is probably has the deepest lyrics on the album, and that isn't actually saying a lot. In that he's striving for perfection for an ideal woman that he's made for himself in his mind. Not groundbreaking, earth-shattering stuff, but I mean, like, take like Hyperlink for example is about how much he likes sex. My console is about how much he likes his PlayStation. Move Your Body is about how much he likes to dance.
It's true. I think that Too Much of Heaven. I like the sentiment of like being like, hey, you know, like there's more to life than money.
Yeah.
But it's just so cheesy and obvious.
Well, that's the thing, you know, is that it's almost too explicit. He's just like, oh yeah, we got too much stuff. Like, you know, there's money everywhere.
Oh,
and,
yeah. And let's talk about money. Oh, you know, it's like Too Much of Heaven can bring you down, man. I can't. The lyrics, I have a real tough trouble. And the thing is, like, it is kind of awkward. I think a little bit of their ESL shows as well in that song. And I guess I have problems with it when it comes to like ESL lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, it's not horrible, but it's just run it by somebody who's totally fluent, maybe, you know, just say, does this sound awkward? And then, you know, I would read it and I'd be like, well, it's not grammatically incorrect, but it's a little awkward.
Yeah, it just sounds
weird, you know?
On the note of Hyperlink, Man I Love Sex Son, there was an Italian guy who's in my grade named Marius. He loved that song.
I remember him.
He used to just walk's not even the right word. He used to like amble and swagger down the hallway.
I wonder what ever happened to that guy.
I don't know. He had headphones on, big clamshell headphones, but the volume was always jacked up so you could hear exactly what he heard whenever he passed by. And it was always that song. it was always that song.
He was just such like a cartoon character.
He was, yeah.
He was just like this super like I'm so sexy, ladies, just that kind of guy.
Yeah.
I remember my friend Brandy was like, Marios, he thinks he's, and she gives a big thumbs up, but he's actually, and then she goes big thumbs down.
And I got stories of that guy. He was in my drama class. But
to be fair though, he was in high school.
It was high school.
So you know what? As far as I'm concerned, anything that people did in high school doesn't matter anymore.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, unless you meet them and, like, they legitimately haven't changed at all. Which, you know, I haven't seen Mario since high school. So, like, it's been over 10 years now. So, well, I won't say if he's changed or not, but gets a pass.
Yep.
Until further evidence is presented to the court.
Z95.3 was our hit music station here in Vancouver at the time.
And it's just come back, apparently.
After anyone who's watched Daria was done in Vancouver, and the joke radio station in one of the episodes was Z93, and that was and they were you know, laughable and stupid. They were based off of Zed.
I used to really like Zed, but then
pop music has changed.
Pop music has changed, yeah. And you know, even then, even when it was popular, and like even when I did like it, there were still a lot of songs they played that I didn't like. And so I was wondering, like, did I just listen to it because I didn't really know any other radio stations, or
I think so. Maybe. But anyways, they played Blue all the time, but it was around this point that I started noticing that they seemed to influence public opinion on hit songs more than the public influences it. Which is like a case in point where Blue was on the top of the charts for a long, long time. And then Ivan 6.5 put out their next single, Move Your Body, which I actually liked more. I thought it was a little better. It was a little more musically.
It's hard to tell because I was so oversaturated with Blue,
yeah,
that I really got desensitized to it, and it stopped being appealing just based on the sheer number of times I heard it.
But anyways, Move Your Body was on the top of the charts. They had their top 7 at 7 and stuff. It was on the top for a couple weeks, and then they stopped playing it. And then like a month later, they said, okay, this is the new single from Ivan 6.5, which was Living in a Bubble. And
I think it was Too Much of Heaven, actually.
Maybe so, yeah, okay. And the DJ at the time, I remember this very distinctly, he said, Blue was a hit. Move Your Body, total miss. Let's see if the next one's a hit. And at the time, I was like, well, it was on the radio all the time, just like Blue was. Why was it a miss? And it was on the top of their most requested lists, like Blue was, but then all of a sudden the radio station stopped playing it. And it was basically at that point that I started being really critical of, like, how much of, the success of these songs is based on what people want to hear, and how much of it is based on how much energy the radio station wants to put into it, how much kickback are they getting from the label, that sort of thing. So I start to question the politics of radio basically at that point. Because I remember, because I was very confused by them saying that Move Your Body was a miss.
Yeah. And then I think you were finally fully swayed by that mysterious Lil Wayne hit. Yeah, many years later.
Yeah, and then that was it completely. Amilla. When the DJ comes on and says, this is the most amazing track you'll ever hear, I love it, I can't stop listening to it.
This track is hot, hot, hot.
This is so hot. And then it comes on, and I'm like, what the hell is this?
It's like, how can you guys even say?
How much money are you getting?
Yeah, you gotta really wonder.
But yeah, yeah. And then I think I heard Too Much of Heaven once.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing it on the radio, then, like, yeah, at much at all.
Well, it could be because maybe people were tired of Ivan 6.5 at that point. Maybe there was a lot going on in music. But it was only a couple of years later, like later 2001, when they released Contact. I remember the tail end of a commercial advertising it, yeah, and for Lucky, and I think they were jumping on a trampoline or something, and it was like, Ivan 6.5's new hit.
Jumping on a trampoline. We love trampolines.
I love jumping on this tramp. So Contact, I had never heard it before. Like the whole thing, I'd heard bits and pieces because our brother Nate was a huge fan.
Nate, I actually bought it for him from a used CD store for his birthday. Actually, I bought it twice because one of his copies got destroyed, and then I think for like his next birthday or Christmas, I got him it again, and he's like, "Yeah, awesome."
At one point, he claimed to be the biggest fan in North America. To which, at first, I was like, oh, "What? Come on!" And then I'm like, after some thought, I was like, maybe he's right.
Maybe
he's right.
Contact did not do well at all in the charts.
No, it charted well in Italy, but nowhere else. Whereas yeah. Europop charted gold and platinum in a lot of countries, including yeah. Canada. Their next two albums did not chart.
Now Contact is an interesting kind of album because it's got some different ideas, and it's got some really, like, basically carbon copy ideas from Europop.
Yes. There's one song that I noted, One Goal is Blue. They are the same song.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, you, the exact same synth sound is ding, 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 ding.
And then the noise. And,
yeah. So I actually, what I did was, I listened to this album quite a while ago, but I actually basically edited the album because it's long. That's one of the main problems with the
Contact. It's what, 17 tracks?
17 tracks. It's just ridiculous. Like, it's a marathon to run. Yeah. And half the songs could be axed easy. In fact, that's what I did. I edited it down to 9 tracks. And I was listening to that on my way here, and I was actually kind of digging it. it's like, hey, you know what? These basically, I cut out the carbon copy songs. I cut out the songs that were just like completely misguided, and basically, my playlist now for Contact is New Life, King of Lullaby, Crazy, I Don't Want to Lose, Morning Time, Life Like Thunder, Brightly Shines, Losing You, and Journey.
So you even took out the single. So got Lucky.
I don't like Lucky. I never liked Lucky. I'm sorry. I just never liked Lucky. It was just sort of like...
And you took out DJ with the Fire?
Yeah, I didn't really dig that one either.
That's fine. That's the only song I knew. Besides Lucky, that's the only song I knew because I'd heard Nate listening to that one.
Just kind of kept it to the ones that I thought had some, like, artistic merit. And one of the problems is that even the songs that do have this sort of, like interesting melodies and stuff like that do, unfortunately, get bogged down by the fact that they're trying to be a dance band. Mm. And so they have a very redundant kind of and then little sound effects. And I feel like this is a... Eiffel 65 is a band with more potential in their ideas than they kind of, like, they come out with. Because... they're bogged down by the genre that they've sort of signed themselves to.
If you're going to have a really long album, you've got to have enough variation within the album to keep the listener interested.
For example, same year, Moby's Play, like we talked about before.
Well, no, Moby's Play is 99. This one's 2001.
Right. Sorry, yes, sorry.
But no, Moby's Play was the example I was thinking of. Yeah. It takes a drastic shift.
18 tracks.
Yeah, it takes a drastic shift halfway through, and in fact even sort of announces that shift by that track 7. Sort of, the tone changes into a sort of more melancholic and introspective side. And yeah, that's fine. You know, change things up. It's like, okay, well, I'll listen to the second half. Make it defined.
And the thing is, like, even like the tone changes. Like every song is so very distinctive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a few songs that maybe sound a little similar in the mellow end of things, but not like I'd get them mixed up. If anything, they just flow together really well.
Mm-hmm.
But so, definitely, there's the 17 tracks in Contact of kind of like a lot of them have a very redundant beat, and so it's sort of it's hard to make it through the whole thing, unfortunately.
I noticed listening to it that it sounded to me like they had taken some ideas lifted right out of Daft Punk. Then I said to myself, you're being too hard on them. Maybe that was just what the Europe discotheque atmosphere was like at the time. Maybe these were common sounds that were going through all the dance clubs at the time that Daft Punk had taken as well as just F65 taken.
Yeah.
Then I went to F65's webpage to remember the discography section where they claimed that Europop was a landmark album in the 90s. They even said for Contact that they were inspired by Daft Punk for that album.
Daft Punk inspired a lot of albums, yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like an inspiration to me. It sounds like they have taken sounds from Daft Punk songs and stuck it in their own.
I could definitely draw comparisons. The song Crazy, which I actually do like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I could easily see sounds from like Fresh. Mm-hmm. Homework.
Yes.
So, yeah, I can kind of see the direct comparison.
Losing You, we have a female vocalist, Elena Flocken, whatever. I like that touch. I think that's kind of cool. I wish they'd done more with that.
Yeah, you know, I remember, I think that's one of the ones I kept.
It is one of the ones you kept. I know.
Yeah.
But the sad thing is, in the album, they don't credit her.
Really?
Yeah, she's uncredited in the album.
Aw. Well, how do you know? Where did you get the information from?
Wikipedia.
Okay. Did they say for the rest of the credits in this, go to Wikipedia?
Yeah. Okay. That means it's kind of not cool. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm always a full supporter of just giving credit where credit's due. Just you know, if you have extra musicians, extra singers, they want to. I mean, they're doing it as a job, yeah. But at the same time, like they're doing your album a favor usually.
It does also kind of like. It makes it more interesting to listen to because this is a little new spice. This is something
different. That's one of the reasons I kept that song. That's one of the elements that made it memorable and stand out.
Yeah. It's the one with the chick.
The one with the girl.
I also liked Life Like Thunder. Okay, maybe like's too strong a word. I found it interesting, but I noted that I would like to have heard real instruments. I'm not putting down the synth, but when you are trying to incorporate sounds, like more sounds to give like a fuller feel to your song, don't cheap out and then synth those as well. I mean, get some, you know, brass players in, get a guitar. You know, I felt that that song in particular, and listen to Life Like Thunder, and tell me that you wouldn't think the song would be immensely more interesting with more instruments. Because I agree with you. I think that song has a lot of good ideas and a lot of potential that is completely unfulfilled.
Enough about Contact. Okay.
I listened to the self-titled album last
time. I gotta confess, I haven't heard that one, so I can't really say much. I meant it was my homework, and I didn't do my homework.
I listened to the international version. The original release was just in Italian, except two songs were in English. Right away, I noticed there was a change in the sound, in that the auto-tune seemed to be gone, and that the guy was actually singing. However, his voice was a little different. I kind of marked down that it was sort of emo boy bandish. Not whiny, but, you know, just Just it had that song, and then sound to it, and then the second song came on, and then it sounded like the first song, and then the third song came on, and it sounded like the first song, and then I get
wait, did it sound like the first song or did it sound like the second song?
It sounded like the first song. Okay. Now this album's a lot shorter, 12 tracks.
Okay,
which is fine. Then around track 9 or 10, the auto tune comes back. Like, so close. What else did I know? Fairly unremarkable. More instrumentation would be nice. I didn't like the cover. It's like, hey guys, we're gonna do a photo shoot for the cover of your new album, okay? All right, here, let's get this nice Mediterranean backdrop, and you guys can sit on this balcony and stuff. Oh yeah, that's great. Oh, it's a beautiful day out, the sun's out. So the guys are sitting down in chairs, they've all got their phones out, and they're all looking at their phones and playing with their phones. I was like, what? And now, this album came out in 2003. These aren't smartphones. What the hell are these guys doing? Are they dialing someone? They're calling for pizza?
I can't wait for pizza.
It's like, guys, thanks for showing up to the photo shoot, guys. Thanks.
I wrote a song. It's called I Love Pizza.
Yeah. There's a song called Today that I felt sounded like it was... it had potential being like a beach sort of song.
Okay.
Could have used a guitar, though.
Okay.
Like a real one. There's a song called The Filter where they try to go for something really deep and really, oh, yeah, this is... You know, this is emotionally hard-hitting, and thought failed miserably. And then they have a song called Like a Rolling Stone, and I was like, are they doing a cover? Nope.
Okay.
It just happens to be called Like a Rolling Stone.
Okay, interesting.
I really don't have much more than that for their self-titled 2003 release, because a lot of it sounded the same, and I'm glad they relied less on the auto-tune. It would have been nice to have gotten rid of it completely.
Yeah.
But it really felt like they were just phoning it in.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. When you sort of, especially because Contact seemed to like be going in an interesting direction, for them to capitalize on that and take and then at that point, you know, you don't have to do what Europop did. Mm-hmm. You can take some of the more interesting ideas that you're coming up with and play with them however you like. And then he didn't.
Apparently, yeah, so again, they disbanded. The one guy went off to do something, and the other guys are Blue Mo 6. But apparently, Bliss Corporation has announced there will be a new lineup of Eiffel 65.
A new lineup?
Yeah. So they want to keep the name going, and they want to stick some new guys in, some fresh blood or something.
So they're trying to do, like, Sky? Do you remember Sky?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Canadian. They
did Love Song. Three albums. Mm-hmm. There was one guy through each of those albums, mm-hmm. and then every album had a different singer.
Yeah, and the last one, it was more disco, and it was a lady, if I recall.
That was the second album.
Oh, that was the second?
Yeah. The third album, I haven't heard anything from. Hmm. So, I don't know, because they kind of faded. Like, they faded into obscurity pretty fast after their first album.
They're Canadian.
That's true, we could. Anyway, we should at least talk about, you know, the guy with the hat.
That is very, very true. Yeah, I thought that the reason why that they had... I can't remember. I think I'd read it off some website or something. And this is the problem when you read stuff and then instantly believe it. that the reason why they had kind of dropped off the face of the earth was because they broke up because the lead singer had died.
Yeah.
And Doug, I think you took one look at the cover art or something, right?
Yeah, well, basically, I was looking at the cover, like the inside sleeve of Europop to see, like, well, I don't know. And then I see the lead singer guy. He's got his hat on. And I look at the front cover of... Contact, where they're all there standing there striking really stupid looking poses. Yeah. And they're like, you know what? No, I don't think he died. I think he just took off his hat.
that's basically it, guys.
It's been running joke for a long time.
He didn't die, he just his hat. That's, yeah. I know nothing about their concerts, but I do know that's, you know, they're still pretty big in Italy.
Yeah.
And they did fairly well in Italy.
I mean, I'm honestly, like, sometimes being a one hit wonder is okay. Len, they're kind of proud to be a one-hit wonder. They did Steal My Sunshine, and people are like, hey, you guys are just one-hit wonder. And I've seen, like, the tweets, because Len, they have a pretty active Twitter account. They're like, well, you know, it's one more hit than a lot of bands get, so...
That is true. And again, we don't... If Eiffel 65 is listening to this, or Bliss Corporation, I don't know. There is no shame in saying that you had the defining single from 1 year. There's no shame in saying that. You know, even if the single is rubbish, which I'm not saying Blue is, but there have been singles throughout years gone by that you listen to and you're like, that's ridiculous. That's horrible. But, you know, I wouldn't say that Blue kind of it marked a change in the music of the time, really. I mean, into more accepting of electronic. And
yeah, it's true. So... And, no shame in
And you know what? And I will absolutely say this. I will give them credit where credit is due. their musical lyrics are generally about how much they like life, how much fun that they have, but not in a, it's like, hey, you know, life's good, life's cool, it's, things are fun. They're very upbeat. I will give them that.
It is positive stuff.
And it is all positive
stuff.
You mean,
you don't listen to Eiffel 65 because you're like, I hate life, and everything's depressing. You listen to them because you're like, you know, I want to groove to something today, you know, and that's fine.
So, I wonder if people like sex as much as I do.
So. I wonder if people love PlayStation as much as I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we've been fair and balanced in our review. I mean, I mean history hasn't treated Rifle 65 too well, but I think they do have a place in history, I think. So,
yeah, and that is true. Would you recommend them?
Not to everybody, but I think that I wouldn't recommend them necessarily as a whole. I think I'd probably recommend some specific song. In fact, well, let's do that now. Let's do the track highlights. I do like Crazy. I really do like Crazy. I think it's a fun song. It does have that kind of Daft Punk-y vibe.
This part where we're like,
Journey. I recall. I really enjoy Journey, actually. You know, the thing is, I think we already kind of mentioned them already from off of Europop. But, the song Europop, I think, has a really cool sound to it. Now is Forever. Keep your mind on what's it. Edge. I mean, again, you don't like The Edge. Steve doesn't like The Edge. I do like The Edge. Yeah, I think those are the songs we're going to go with. I don't know anything off the third album, so don't... And so, I mean, but if you really like the first track, like really like it, apparently the rest of it's for you.
Yeah, go for it. I originally thought I wasn't going to recommend them at all, because they are a little juvenile. Not that that's bad, but after listening to Contact and... I didn't have the wisdom that you did and slice out a bunch of tracks. I would listen to it start to finish. And it did leave a sour taste in my mouth because of how long it was. And I really thought the third album was mediocre. I guess I'll say that Dub in Life is very, 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 very serviceable. Kind of fun. Doesn't have annoying sounds to it at all. Accessible.
I don't know what Dub in Life means, though.
Not a clue.
No, but still, you know, everybody's looking for a dub in this life. So.
Yeah. And... dear, yeah. Again, I felt that Clown had a lot of potential, but blew it.
You know, I almost feel like they really should have picked a word other than clown. You know, it's like, there's just, it just doesn't fit the mood of the song.
Losing You. Losing You and Dub in Life, I think if I was going to go to a random person and talk about music... Losing You and Dub in Life, I think, is about as far as I'm going to go, to be honest.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening, everybody.
Yeah, we are looking into getting this podcast up and loaded. Yes. I'm just getting some cover arts. We want to secure that so that you have something to look to as opposed to an image needed.
Yep.
Little box.
That's right. And so at this point, we are unposted. But so we're hoping that we haven't like wasted hours of our life. So. Yeah.
But I will say that if you have any questions or comments, we love feedback. If you have suggestions for bands that you think that we should definitely cover... then please, like, let us know. If you think Eiffel 65 is utter nonsense or the greatest thing to hit the planet, or have any comments about any of the bands we've covered so far, please drop us a line. We'll probably read your comments, too. Why not? Well, if they're interesting enough. And,
be nice.
Yeah, we want to be nice. On the airs. And so right now the email address is admin@nshgfilms.com. That's admin@nshgfilms.com. And again, we welcome and love your feedback. And I guess we will close out by saying that Music A to Z podcast is hosted by Steven and Doug Ferguson and is produced by me, Steven Ferguson. You should check out our other works at nshgfilms.com, DougJCFerguson.com, and StephenGCFerguson.ca.